Greg. Thank you. So we do bring you greetings from Dr. Gillies and the church in Lisburn. We're going to turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 9. There are many portions in the New Testament that deal with the subject of evangelism and the need to reach out to those who are lost in sin. This is certainly a passage that really does lay emphasis upon the need to reach out. And as believers, sadly, we do become sidetracked. We can at times lose our way, lose our sense of purpose. Why the Lord has saved us, He saved us to the praise of the glory of His grace. He has saved us that we might be witnesses, that we might reach out, that we might have hearts filled with compassion and love, that we might be like our Savior, like Christ, who reached out to the multitudes. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read just some verses together. Verse 35, here we're reading about the Savior, where it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's just bow very briefly in prayer with God's word open before us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word given to us in our own mother tongue. We bless thee for the scriptures of truth, the articles of God, this more sure word of prophecy. And it is our prayer this day that thou wilt speak through thy word in the Bible class, in the morning service, in the evening meeting as well. Oh, that today we might sit at thy feet, that we might hear thy word. Oh God, that thou wilt speak to all of our hearts. Lord, burden our hearts. Show to us more of Christ. We pray that more and more we will be imitators of our Savior, that we will be like our blessed Redeemer. Oh God, we pray, come and speak to my heart afresh. Speak to each and every waiting soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just recently I had opportunity to speak at a seminar on the subject of evangelism at our congregation in Macrofelt in Ulster. And there, in introducing the subject, I spoke of the two types of evangelism that are set before us in Scripture. Mass evangelism, and Christ himself preached to the masses. There were times when he spoke to tens of thousands. There at the Mount, and other occasions when he sought to reach out to as many people as possible. And then, of course, there is personal evangelism, dealing with individuals on a one-to-one basis. But whether we're speaking to multitudes, speaking to people individually, there is a great need. And the need is this, that we are witnesses, that we are reaching, that we are soul winners, that we are burdened, that we're concerned, that we have a love for the souls of men and women. Many years ago, I had opportunity to go with one of our own ministers to a church that we have, a free church in Scotland, right in the northern part of Scotland, in Gardenstown. The Reverend Goods and myself have been to that church on many occasions. But I went over with the Reverend Sinton, and he was actually preaching from this passage. And he spoke that morning on the one thing that we can do here on earth, but we cannot do in heaven. There are many things that we do here on earth that we will do in heaven. Sing God's praises. Glorify God. But the one thing that he spoke about that we cannot do is we cannot be a witness to the souls of men and women. We have but a limited opportunity. A day of opportunity. A time to spread the gospel and to speak of Christ. And I want to leave before you just a few simple points with regards to the need of our hearts. There is a need here to have compassion for sinners. If you look at the verse 36, it speaks here about Christ that when he, the blessed Lord Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why was he moved? What moved the heart of Christ? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And there is the Lord Jesus stood and he watched the multitudes. They were as sheep there on the hillside, scattered abroad, having no one to lead them, no one to guide them. They were on the road to a lost eternity, and the heart of the Son of God was moved with compassion. We need to have compassion for sinners. And of course, that inevitably comes from a heart filled with gratitude and praise, to recognize that we ourselves, that we are but sinners, saved by the grace of God. All that we are and have and ever will be is because of what God has freely bestowed upon us. We owe to him everything. God has had mercy on us. The Lord has been compassionate towards us. You know, I'm glad that whenever I was lost to my sin and I was headed towards hell, that Christ had compassion in me. We have much to thank God for. We thank him for all the temporal blessings in life, for the food and raiment, for the families, for all the blessings we enjoy. But oh, the wonderful gift of God's salvation. And we thank God for his mercy and for his compassion. We need to see men and women as they really are. Not as trees walking, but as precious souls without Christ. That our loved ones, our neighbors, that those that we seek to speak to, that they are indeed heading towards everlasting ruin. And it ought to move our hearts. Let me say that what will give us compassion for sinners is greater love for Christ. I suppose that at times we would even pray, Lord, give to us a vision of hell. And that's a well-intended prayer. Yet the Lord in mercy does not grant it. Because in reality, if we were but to have the lid lifted of hell and we were to gaze into hell itself, we would never be able to eat, to sleep, to think straight again. We would be out of our minds. What it means for a soul to be lost. But here is what burdens us and gives us compassion for the souls of men. It is greater love for the Son of God, greater love for Jesus Christ. That's what gives us that compassion. Like Mr. Christ. And there ought to be also here not only the need for compassion for sinners, but concern for service. Here we find that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There is here a picture of the harvest being gathered in. And if you can picture a great harvest field, and there stands one man in the corner, seeking to do all that he can to bring in the harvest, to make that harvest. But there's no one to assist him, no one to help him, no one to labor with him. And it must be the prayer request, as it were, of every missionary to send forth more laborers. That the laborers, indeed, they are few. How few they are. We need a concern for service. We need to be concerned enough that you and I will do something about it. There is something we can all do for the Lord. Something that we can all do for Christ. There are people that you will speak to that I will never speak to, and vice versa. There is something that we can all do to reach the souls of men and women. There is also a need for commitment to supplication. For the Lord Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. We are to bring this matter to the Lord in prayer. I want to thank you for praying for us as a family, for praying for us as we seek to labor amongst young people, addicts, children, whatever form the ministry takes, and it is very varied at times. There is a need to pray. We come before the God who is able, one who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we can ask or think. God who is able to move in the hearts of those who seem so hard, who are so unconcerned, who are so unmoved. Praise God, Christ can move the heart. He can touch the heart. He can melt the heart. He can bring our loved ones to Christ. We need a commitment to supplication, to pray, and to pray, and to pray more. Then, of course, we need commissioned saints. For we need to pray that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest field. And we do thank God for those who have gone into various lands and areas. They have been commissioned by the Lord. But you know, there is a sense that every Christian is commissioned and sent by God. We need to pray that the Lord will lead us, He will direct us, He will guide us, He will send us to some needy soul with the word and the gospel. What a great need there is. But of course, the burden that we will have for the souls of men and women comes from a heart that is in love with Christ. Paul says that the love of Christ constrained him. As he thought of how Christ melted his heart and how God brought him by faith to believe in the Son of God, how the Lord stepped in wonderfully in his life and transformed him. Paul says, that's the message that I take. That's what moves me. That's what stirs me as I look out upon a world that is lost. It is the fact that God has had mercy on me. And he viewed the world through the eyes of Christ with that vision of a heart and fire for the Son of God. We need the Lord to bring us back to that point where we are not so much inward looking, but that we are outward looking. So oftentimes we are so concerned with our own needs and problems and what's going on in our own lives that we fail to see those around about us. But we need God to give us a fresh vision of Christ who set his love upon us, who lifted us. And that will in turn give us a love for the souls of men and women. I want to leave before you the burden of the work that we're involved in. It is very much a family ministry because my wife supports me and helps me in so many different ways. And she has her part to play, if you could put it that way, in the ministry. We are laborers together with God. I'd like to thank Dr. Allison for the invitation to come and just to speak a little bit about the work and to lay the burden of that ministry before you. So what I'm going to do is just use the computer here and the presentation, and hopefully we'll be able to get things up and running. As you are aware, the ministry that we're involved in is really a ministry to seek to reach those who are caught up in addiction. The world has all its views about how people get addicted, what it means to be addicted. They would say, for instance, that the reason people get addicted to drugs and to drink and all those various things is because of the social background, social deprivation. It's because of the availability of drugs, exposure to drugs. They have all their reasons and, all their philosophies as to why people get addicted and why they stay addicted. But of course, we know from the Word of God that the Bible teaches us that it is the heart of man, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That it is because of the void in man's heart that man, sadly and tragically, seeks out the things of the world. The Word of God speaks to us about the work of the devil, how he has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, his image of God, should shine unto them. And so we find that the mind in particular is an area where the devil attacks, where he will seek to propagate his false lies. One of the powerful tools that the devil uses in doing this, of course, is drugs. The chemicals get into the blood, which the blood carries the chemicals to the brain. So the way the brain is affected, it's changed. Whether it speeds up the signals, slows them down, it alters the way the brain works. And that, of course, is a very powerful tool in the hands of the devil. When we think of young people, drugs are a powerful tool, and likewise, so is music. And I've had opportunity not only to speak to our young people in fellowships and at meetings about drugs and alcohol and those sorts of vices, but also about the dangers of music. Music is a very, very powerful tool. And we pray that young people might be convicted, that they might listen to godly, conservative Christian music, music that edifies, music that builds up rather than pulls down. And so therefore it's a powerful tool as well. These things work in the area of the mind. Man is naturally blinded to the things of God. Born into this world, man is naturally a sinner. He has a sin nature, a sinful heart. And of course, it is the work of the devil. It is his plan that man might continue in sin, that he might continue to be blinded in sin. And so the devil, in particular with young people, will use various vices in order to further blind the mind, to keep young people in particular away from thinking about the gospel, thinking of man, their need of the heart, and how subtle the devil is. We only have to go back to Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The very first thing the Holy Spirit draws our attention to in Scripture about the devil, he underscores and he underlines the fact that the serpent, the devil, that he is more subtle. He is crafty. He is a master of deception. He knows exactly how to lure, to attract, to bind. He knows how to keep young people there, their minds fixed and focused upon the things of the world. He is a master of this. This is his domain. And you'll find that also that he hates the word of God. Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There he calls into question the authority of God's word. Now you'll find that the two things, that they go hand in hand. The only way to overcome the subtlety of the devil is by the word of God. I say these two things go hand in hand. Therefore, as we seek to reach out to individuals, whether they're young people or those in their 20s or 30s or even older who are involved in drugs, what is important is to bring the gospel. It is to speak about Christ, because it is the Lord alone who is able to work in the heart and who is able to bring that precious soul to Christ. Of course, it's not an anti-drug ministry. And I want you to realize that, because if it wasn't drugs, the devil would have some other vice for the young people. It is not an anti-drugs crusade. What it is, it's a means of using the subject, for instance, of drugs to speak to people, to present the gospel to them, because the Bible has a lot to say about addiction, about drugs, about man's heart. Praise God about the remedy. And we have the remedy. Praise the Lord that we know the one who is able to transform hearts and lives and to set men and women free from the penalty and the power of sin. I know here that in America that you have a very big problem with crystal meth, methamphetamine. We don't really have much methamphetamine in our own country. In the United Kingdom, we don't really have much in methamphetamine use. But we do have a drug called methadone. And it is a plant food. And sadly, many, many young people over the last couple of years have taken to this drug. They've been abusing their bodies and their minds with this drug. It has been produced and sold as a plant food. Of course, drug dealers are very subtle in their approach and how they package drugs, etc. You think of the effects in the mind, and young people who become very fearful, see things that aren't there, they become severely depressed, agitated, etc. Leads to all sorts of problems. We have had a problem lately with a drug that you've had here in the States as well, and that is being drugs that are packaged off as bath salts. And sadly, we've had that as well. Now, one of the things that we do is to seek to reach young people with the gospel, and for those who are willing, we then seek to point them in the direction of going to homes, residential homes, Christian homes. We would seek to point them to various homes that we would know and be aware of, where they can go, and they can go for a period of time, whether it's 6 months or a year. And there they can go and into that Christian environment. They can hear the gospel, if they profess faith, well, they can be in an environment where they are nurtured, where they grow, and where they are set free. Drugs do lead to addiction. Of course, the Bible speaks about addiction. There is no better definition of addiction than Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And you think of a piece of thread that's wrapped round two fingers once or twice, it's easily broken. Wrapped around 30, 40 times around the same two fingers, those threads become stronger. They become like a cord and a rope. They bind. They can't be broken. The reality is it's just a thread, but because it's used so many times, it becomes stronger. That's like sin. That's what sin does. And you know, when we think about being holden with the cords of sin, let's not only mark out sins like alcohol and drugs and gambling. What about self-righteousness? What about pride? You think of those who are held there with the cords of their sins and their pride. Praise God, we know the one who is able to set free, who is able to deliver. And we have a mighty God, we have a mighty Christ. Young people, they turn to the drugs looking for life. But in reality, the drugs bring them to the place where they want to die. They feel there's no escape, no hope, no future. There's nothing worth living for. I remember being just 19 years of age and being at this place in my own life where, you know, I felt that I'd ruined the lives of everyone I'd come into contact with. I was living without hope. I couldn't change. There was no future for me. And at 19 years of age, I took a massive drugs overdose and tried to take my own life. You know, I'm glad today in a God who is sovereign, one who overrules, that whenever I said I've had enough of life and I'm going to die, God said, no, you'll not, you'll live. And God preserved me and kept me alive. Why? Because he's merciful. Do not deserve the very least of God's mercies. And yet God was merciful. And that's our ministry could be summed up by seeking to reach out to those who are held in the depths. Those who come to the point where they feel, you know, there's nothing worth living for. There's no purpose to life. There's no reason for life. And yet, we know God is able to reach out. You know, what do drug addicts look like? These are a couple of individuals that we've worked with over the years. Sometimes that's what addicts look like. Sometimes it's like this. And this is a young lad that we sought to help when we got him into a program. He was very seriously ill before he went. One of the men that we took from Ballymena to the home in Dublin, first of all, was this man here called John. And whenever we met John, he had a very big drug problem. He had a drug habit of $600 a day of heroin. He was a big-time drug dealer. His flat would have been the main flat in Ballymena. It was, you know, raided by the police just about every other day. But John had a desire to go to the home in Dublin, and he has now not only went to the home in Dublin, but he's over in a Christian men's home in Wales. Whenever I met Michael, Michael was just about, early 20s, and he was very broken. He'd been addicted to heroin for, I suppose, about 4 or 5 years, right from about the age of 15. His life was just in a mess. He had an apartment, and he said, you know, I want to get help. Can you get me help? I said, son, I can get you help right this minute. I can take you to a home right now. He said, but what about my apartment? What am I going to do with it? And I said, son, if you want help and you're serious about getting help, only God can work in your heart and your life, and only the Lord can set you free. What you've got to do is you've got to give up everything, everything, and seek the kingdom of God. And he actually did that day. He gave up his apartment. Not a Christian, mind you. A young man with very little understanding of the gospel. He gave up his apartment to seek first the kingdom of God. And you know, it's wonderful to think that today that Michael is involved in a men's home over in Wales. He's been saved now a couple of years. He's gone on really well with the Lord. He loves Christ. It's so humbling talking to him on the phone. I was over, I visited him lately. And to see his love now for the Savior, he said, you know, all I want to do is to read and study, to know more about the Lord. He's involved in a prison ministry, reaching out. And I just think back to that day when he walked away from his apartment, when his life was in a mess. And he said, you know what? I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see a picture there in the middle also of John. And then over on the right hand side is a young man that we've been working with lately called Tony. And Tony, just get back on here. Let's see here. Tony left Ballymena, oh, I suppose a couple of months ago, about 3 months ago. He had been involved in heroin and he was addicted. I'd like you to pray for his mum, for Tony's mum is also an addict. I'd like you to pray that the Lord would work on her heart and her life. But I just got the news before I came over here to America, just a call last week, to say that Tony had got saved and had sought the Lord. And once again, we just thank the Lord for working in the lives of individuals, the lives of these men, you know, that the Word says that there's no hope for. You know, these are men that have been through every program. They've been on the methadone. They've been on maintenance programs. They've gone to various lengths. But it's only the Lord who is able to truly deliver and to set free. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Praise God, we have the hope of the gospel. We have the reality that no matter how far down a man or woman has gone, that the hand of God is able to reach him and lift him, and that the Lord loves the sinner. I would like you to pray that God will work in the lives of these people, that he will bring them to himself. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I've just shown you a few slides and pictures of the people that I work with. I pray that it will be an encouragement to you to reach out, especially to children. That before boys and girls ever get to teenage years, that their lives would be transformed already by the grace of God. It's often been said that a soul saved is a life spared, and so it is. We pray that our young people will know God, be strong, and do exploits. This is a children's mission that I was involved in just recently. It was just the week before we came over to the States here. It was held in a local housing development in Ballymena. Ballymena, a few years ago, purchased this marquee, the tent, and each year they put up the tent in one of the local housing developments, bring in the children. We had about 60 children in each day, many of them who don't come to meetings. You know, I'm glad to say that I have a brother in the Lord there. Brother Ran and his wife Diane are such an encouragement and blessing. You know, to think that Diane has multiple sclerosis, she has a very debilitating illness. And yet to think of how the Lord saved Ran and Diane, they were both given over to alcohol and to the things of the world. And how he's given them a burden and a love just to see them reaching out, filling up the tent. Then each evening, we had a gospel mission. We had an adult mission where men and women come into the tent there. And it was wonderful to see every evening the tent well filled up with many people coming in to hear the gospel. Now, as we were reaching out to the boys and girls, I actually took the theme of kings and queens in the Bible. This year, we had the 60th anniversary of the Queen's Jubilee, 60 years on the throne, their Diamond Jubilee. And so I took the theme of kings and queens in the Bible. For instance, we looked at David, the chosen king. On Monday then, we went to Josiah, the child king. Esther, the courageous queen. And we drew lessons from the various individuals in Scripture. Then we looked at Agrippa, the challenge king, and how he was brought to the point of making a conscious decision. Aye, but he made a very foolish one. And then as we thought about kings and queens, we thought of the last day of Christ, the coming King. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And it's been wonderful just to speak to the boys and girls, to reach out to them. The more I work with adults and with young people who are involved in drugs, the more and more it's impressed upon my heart the need to reach our children and the need to evangelize them. Now, 2 weeks ago, the week before this mission, I was taking a meeting at our church in Mullaglass. Well, Mullaglass is it's outside Murray, which is on the border between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. We have a congregation there, I suppose, of about 150. And at the meetings, it was tremendous. We had 185 children present most days at the Vacation Bible School. Nearly 200 children, many of them coming from Roman Catholic homes, coming from homes that had never heard the gospel. And it was such a privilege just to speak to them, to sow the seed. We pray that in time that the Lord will have mercy and that the Lord will bring these young people to know him. I've also been involved in helping a brother in the Lord. He goes to our church in Castleberg, where Dr. Lindsay Wilson is a minister. Well, Stephen Hogg is what I would call a computer genius. A number of years ago, I was there on deputation, and the Lord really worked. It was powerful. After the meeting, Stephen came to me and he said, the Lord has spoken to me tonight and challenged me through what you've been saying about the need to reach out. He said, now, I don't really have much experience of speaking to people, but he says I can use computers. And I can tell you, he can really use computers. It's amazing what he can do with a computer. And he said, I'd love to be able to help you. So, to cut a long story short, as we'd say, Stephen and myself set about the process of producing children's choruses, quizzes, resources, free for young people, for children. And this is one of the choruses that Stephen produced. There is a website, I can give you the name of that website after, where anybody can go on, download the choruses, they can get all the materials, and have the resources there. And then, of course, we've also sought to produce Bible stories. And this is a story that we've been working on about Nicodemus. And the story has been produced. Stephen has spoken to a man who has the capability, graphic capabilities. He's an artist. And it's just quite amazing that this brother in the Lord said that he would like to be able to help us to produce the graphics that we would need for the Bible stories. What we want to do is we want to produce Bible stories that can be freely distributed, that can be downloaded and won't cost anything at all, but can be used to reach out to individuals with the gospel. What a wonderful privilege it is to speak to men and women. And then in Ballymena, just this year, should I say 2011-2012, I was helping out with the children's work in our Ballymena church, and we've been looking at the tabernacle. I was really challenged the last time I was over here a year ago, and I went to the Mennonite tabernacle there at Lancaster, and was able to get some resources, and was able to bring them home, and able to put together a series of messages. So the children's work last year and this year in Ballymena, they were using the material with regards to teaching the tabernacle and teaching, presenting Christ from the tabernacle. What a wonderful picture it is of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in being able to reach out and to speak to children, to boys and girls. This will give you just, as it were, a little bit of an oversight of the work and the ministry. Could maybe have the lights back on again, please? Thank you. It'll give you just a little bit of the work that I'm involved in. It's a very varied ministry. During the summer months, normally from around about July, August, September, I'd be very much involved in helping out with children. And then the rest of the year, reaching out to addicts. Of course, during the summertime as well, we'll be working with addicts and speaking to their families and to young ones and seeking to reach out with the gospel. But there's a great opportunity to reach out to boys and girls. When you see the lives that are destroyed and ruined, perhaps you go into a home, mom or dad is an addict, but there's a child there willing to come to church. I always think, Lord, what about the children? What hope have they? I've been in homes where, and I've seen things where at times I've just had to turn around, walk away, and just break down. Because you see things that you say, Lord, I complain, I murmur, I lose my way, I lose my vision. And then you bring me here, you show to me that I'm so blessed. That, Lord, I'm living like a king. And all you've done for me. And here's a home with children and have no hope. Their mom and dad's lost. And you just think, Lord, what you've done for me, I know you can do for them. We are laborers together with God. As much as I love the individuals, and I do love them, the world may call them addicts, I call them friends. But as much as we love them, we can't change them. No matter how much we labor, how much we work, no matter how much we try, we cannot change them. Only the Lord can. Only the Lord is able to change them. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. When I go back to Northern Ireland, we arrive back on a Thursday. Right on Monday morning, I start a vacation Bible school in our congregation in Achillea. And I'm really looking forward to that. Even now I'm thinking about it, I'm preparing for it. It's a wonderful opportunity to reach these little ones and pray that God will have mercy. The Lord will step in. We ourselves are only sinners saved by grace. It's grace that makes the difference. Thank you in the Savior's name. I'm going to hand back over to Dr. Allison. Once again, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak. We always feel very welcome here, very much at home. Just recently, I took my wife and myself took a lady to a meeting, an unsaved lady, and she said, you know, your church is so friendly. And it's just like a family. And I said, you know, in reality, the church and the people, they are our family. But we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And to come over here to renew fellowship, you know, it's just like meeting round the table, round the family table again, and renewing that fellowship because we are one in Christ.